WTA Board meeting.
The executive committee will meet Thursday, 8 a.m. at the WTA headquarters. All are welcome.
Okay, Dennis, how about your three committees?
Just for the library, the Bob Melvin. That concert is March 18th, and that's the fundraiser for the play.
Okay.
The other, as far as the senior center, March 10th, Michael's going to present at 8:00. I don't know if anyone else waiting, are you going to be there for the reunion?
It's February 10th, though, sir.
Breakfast is the 20th. And then March 16th, I talked to Dan today, and that is the plan to be a fundraiser for the Wheels on Wheels, and they'll get more information to us. Boys and Girls Club, I saw Chris Fisher today. The floor is there, but it's not being installed yet. I don't know the date to be written.
This week?
This week.
This week?
It's been this week for a few weeks.
The cold weather at least, Coast got them last week, but it's supposed to be this week. We've got a grand opening next week.
And Chris had a question about a door. Apparently it needs some work done.
Yeah, we've got a request in the public works.
Okay. Other than that, nothing going on.
Thank you, Dennis. Mr. Jones, you have two committees, planning and park and cemetery.
Nothing other than what's on the calendar, sir. Just a couple items for the planning commission on the 11th, which are this is the Semiahmoo Shore project, formerly known as Seagrass, and the comprehensive plan we'll be working on with the economic development chapter. And the park and cemetery board also meets later this week.
Okay. Raven, how are the public works advisory committee?
We had a good meeting last Thursday. We covered several housekeeping items, which one of which will be bringing forward new appointments for the next 2 years for the two members whose terms are expiring. Committee members have offered to kind of help us spread the word in terms of street funding and transportation benefit districts. I'm working on essentially just communicating what things are funded through street maintenance, and Michael and I are going to talk about what things parks, trails maintenance needs, and make sure that it's an appropriate package to send out to all their different networks to hopefully get some community support.
Small cities conference and national governments are going to meet later this month. We'll report otherwise on that. And Chief Bollinger is not here, and the Mrs. Recipe was. Oh, wait. Oh, we do have.
Your Honor, I'm passing out the form now.
Let me say this. Can't wait to see it. Oh, Harvest Chicken Squad.
Well, I thought that I saw it.
Okay, all excited. Now we'll go to the next one. Department reports, public works.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think you've all probably heard enough from me this evening, so I'll try to keep this really short. Hopefully Dave will report on the rail policy committee meeting update, but I want to let you know that the students are getting ready to ship out an online survey. And we're just picking up mailing lists and contacts from anybody and everybody that might be interested in rail. I know they're going to be touching base with Bill at the Horseshoe.
About the border?
About the border primarily, yeah. They're finding that it's hard to get a good sampling of Canadian ridership when they're taking the morning train back, because most of the Canadians are not going to leave that early in the morning, so they're actually were saying, well, shoot, we should probably should have gone to Seattle instead of Vancouver. But in any event, We think this is going to be better than trying to interview people on the train anyway, because it's really going to go to the people. I'm working on getting the contact list from last Friday's meeting that I can send to the some really key people who are there that I think would really be helpful. So anyway, they're about halfway through their term, so this is a really critical part of their report. As I indicated previously, Birch Bay Water and Sewer District, at our annual meeting, we had talked about having a joint study session cover this kind of Martin County water supply. We set a tentative date for the 29th of this month. I am thinking that's probably going to get pushed out, though, just schedule-wise. We have got two things happening this Friday. We have the deadline for consultants to submit on the needs assessment, on the citywide needs assessment. And we also have applications coming in for engineering tech and public works, which I'll be very glad to fill soon. Two final items. The mailboxes have been all relocated, all the ones that the post office took upon themselves to move. Not to say that every mailbox meets that standard, but at least the ones that we had installed that way are now back to where they were. We confirmed that with them on Friday. And shoot, I wish I could have thanked John Sipkin, but he was his legal muscle was really what it took to get that going.
Another one on our street was done, but then, and that was as of Friday. But the ones on A were not done, and A and C, I think, were not done. So somehow they got ours. We only have one cluster on our street, and there's two of them side by side.
I'll have Bill contact you.
So whether
okay, because everything that was on his list, they checked off.
Okay.
Raven?
Yes.
There's one gap here.
Right on Harrison there? That wasn't on the list because it wasn't moved by them. It was just installed wrong. So I think all the other ones on Harrison have the little bump out concrete, and that one doesn't though. I know, because I actually was hoping that one. And then, as you probably know, because I think I mentioned, I went to the City Action Days the 27th through the 29th of January, and participated in that. And I have the legislative session and city priorities I'll pass out. I was going to give you an update, like a legislative update, and I think it's just a little too late in the evening for that. But if you're interested in any of the bills affecting this, let me know. And if you're interested in having a legislative update at these meetings as a part of one of our staff reports, also let me know, and that's something we can work on. It's not something that we are obviously currently doing. And then all I would say as a final to that, Mr. Mayor, I did reach out to them a little bit on the new transportation package. They have not yet determined how that's going to be distributed to the states, but they're pushing for the cities to get a higher percentage than normally is split between state and cities, and we'll see what happens, and I'll continue to keep you updated.
Well, I think we need to stick really closely with Vincent, Luann, and Doug, and make sure that they push for us.
Mr. Erickson, unfortunately, didn't have any time in his schedule, but I had a very good conversation with Representative Baez and Representative Van Morgan. Representative Baez is interested in us bringing a potential East Plain project, like to help with infrastructure kind of thing next year, wouldn't be funded this year. And then Representative Van Morgan was intrigued with the possibility of helping us with I-274, maybe with the IJR funding to update that document. So that would be huge.
I think that's got a lot of potential. I mean, if somebody were to push it, it's got potential.
Yes, sir.
Gotta stay on top of that. Okay, the next item, Community Development Services.
I So council members, in your packet, you have an abbreviated version of this report, and I would love to hear your thoughts after the meeting, or if you can give me a call. We've reformatted things a bit. This is the 2015 year-end development report, and we'll start off here with residential building permits. In the fourth quarter, there were 3 single-family residences and 2 duplexes and 1 multifamily unit. That sort of sounds like an oxymoron, 1 multifamily unit, but it's an apartment in a mixed-use building. So there's commercial space in the building, and then the apartment by definition is multifamily in the way that we classify those. So in total, that gives us 25 single-family homes, the 4 duplexes, and the 1 multifamily unit for the year. Last year, compared to this 30 units, we had 16. So it's a notable increase. And this is how that looks over the longer term. You can see about last year of the housing bubble, or the big boom, that was in the earlier part of this century. And since then, kind of a much slower pace of development. Again, what we would expect to see as close to normal is around 40 building permits, and then increasing over time, obviously, as the city grows overall. So this is still a little low for us. Some of the reasons for that is the lack of available ready-to-build lots is probably the primary reason. The Lincoln Park sewer extension is to address some of those needs and to make sure that there are lots available so the city can continue to collect the taxes and the permit fees and all of those things that go along with it. So we're still a little low. Now next year, 2016, this year I suppose, will be back, and because the trend is improving, and the Drayton Reach project, which is down by True Value Hardware, has finally been released from bankruptcy last year. So now that's in our pool. That's some of the units that you see in 2015. There'll be more of those units in 2016. New construction is scattered around the city, as is often the case. Of note, though, is that there are 7 single-family permits and a duplex, so 9 residential units in Semiahmoo. We haven't seen 9 residential units in Semiahmoo since 2006. That's the most we have had in a decade out there. So that is fairly substantial.
Michael, in Carnoustie, I just heard the other day, Carnoustie is just starting to develop.
There's 1 single family permit issued for Carnoustie. There may be people planning, but they haven't come in to talk to us, ironically.
But it's good. I mean, we've got 9 going. We've got 9 in there.
Yeah, and like I said, that 9 is the largest number we've had in Semiahmoo in a decade, so that really is notable. Now, ironically, 10 years ago in 2006, there were 66 units. but most of that was the Murrin project, so it's a little bit artificial. That 66 is not a normal year.
Do you get to come to school?
Well, not in single family dwelling permits, but it does show up here. The school is on there, the Blaine Primary School. The Blaine High School will show up this year, but not in 2015.
Michael, I don't want to be chopped up, but I noticed that property right at Semiahmoo Parkway and Drayton Harbor has just been sold. We sold the sign on it. And that's the that piece of property, which we're where all the commercial stuff is going to be, parking lot and all that. Remember that?
Yes.
That's just been sold. Do you know anything about bought that?
I think the sold sign is up prematurely. I believe it's under contract, and they're doing their due diligence process now. And they have begun to coordinate with us on a plan for the property, which, when it's more formulated and it actually is more than hypotheticals, we'll share that.
I guess commercial property, not the hypotheticals.
That's the thing, is the Semiahmoo master plan calls for commercial in that location. It calls for quite likely a very large satellite parking lot for uses on the spit. And those uses may not be appropriate anymore. Yeah, so that may not make sense 30 years hence.
We're probably going to have to change the
I think that they're going to come through with something that requests some changes, but addresses some of that directly as far as potentially putting in some, they've already talked about some commercial, but it, come by and talk. It's all super hypothetical at this point.
And this is where we call on that.
This year, permits, they are hoping if they can get things moving that they may go to construction before the rainy season, go to infrastructure construction before the rainy season. That's pretty optimistic, but that's what they're hoping.
And more on Semiahmoo Shores?
Yeah, let me get through this and I'll tell you a bit about Semiahmoo Shore status. No, that's all right. The new building construction values, so this is not every single permit in the city. If someone re-roofs their house or adds on a small addition, those are not calculated in here, but these are commercial remodels and commercial new construction, and then all new residential construction, so new residential units. You can see that, again, residential pushes that number significantly. Next year, that'll probably be different because the high school, for 2 years, the high school will be a significant cost. We'll be looking at something like probably $20 million or $30 million just in building construction value. So that will change this chart for a couple of years. But we're at about $13 million in construction value last year, which is better than 2014 and pretty much on par with 2013, which was the beginning of things getting better. Before that, as we, if we were to look back another few years, it's much, much lower numbers because of the recession. Building permit fees, which is always an interesting number for us because it's something of a gamble. We can't generate these fees. We can't cause people to come in and request permits, but we actually were almost dead on, kudos to Jeff, on that with the land development and building permits. We're very close to actual in the budget. Miscellaneous building permits, this is all the other things, plumbing, mechanical, re-roofing, and such, and those are here. So as compared to 2015 and 2014, the number continues to rise. Building inspections, again, continuing to rise. That number up around 150 was pretty typical what we had seen for a while, and up to 223 in the fourth quarter of 2015. And as we see more housing units coming in for construction, we can expect that to rise as well. To 621 total inspections last year for the building department. The vested land use applications, now these are things that are proposing development of land. It could be as simple as someone moving their property line, it could be someone dividing one piece of property into two, or it could be someone coming in for 150 unit subdivision. There's tremendous range of scale on these. As you can see, as is typical, the majority of them is administrative, so we handle them at the staff level. The approval authority actually is vested with me in most of those, and so you don't see those. The Planning Commission doesn't see those. And then those that go to the Planning Commission, most of those also come to City Council. The ones that we have noted here, 2015, there are three that are City Council permits. Those are ones where you had the final authority. Or excuse me, I was saying that in reverse. The three that came to you also went to Planning Commission. So there were eight that were final approval authority of Planning Commission. They heard those and passed them on to you. Three of those were final approval at City Council. This is a very difficult map to read. We are struggling with how to make it more readable, but when you're looking at a whole year's worth of land use actions, it's just a lot of stuff. And it takes a long time to put these maps together, so we are looking at options on how to do that. But it's all range of things. The lighter colored ones are type 2 permits, meaning those are not administrative. They're either Planning Commission or City Council approval. And we'll just go through those real quickly. Mountain Estates subdivision has been to Planning Commission. That will come to you probably at your next meeting, and that is a subdivision just north of Lincoln Park. The high school and the middle and the primary school both needed conditional use permits. Those were heard by the Planning Commission and approved. Drayton Reach lot variance, lot 25 variance, that was at the Planning Commission. That was approved, ironically, across the street. Baldwin Place variance, for different reason, different request, was denied by the Planning Commission. And then Seagrass Cottages Lot 2 was a shoreline substantial development permit for the unit that's under construction now. So if you've been out on this fit, or even if you've just been in my neighborhood and looked across. You can see it going up there. The Semyon Shore PUD amendment, because these list projects that were vested in 2015, even though it's going to Planning Commission Thursday, it shows up here as a vested application. And then the community center pavilion needed a conditional use permit, a variance, and a site plan review, so that was a discretionary. All the rest of those that are up there were administrative, rather small projects generally. I'm going to hand this off to Raven, but I will give you a summary of Semyon Shore, formerly known as Seagrass, just so you have a sense of where they're at with that. That project is, as I said, at the Planning Commission for a public hearing on Thursday. The applicant is proposing to, as you already know from it coming through as a comprehensive plan amendment, reduce the project density from 68 units to 62 units. And the other change that they're making is to change it from mostly fourplex units to mostly to all duplex units except for the one larger building that they're about to build, which could have 16 units in it. That is not proposed at this time. They have no real plans to do the 16-plex now. But the 23 duplexes are all, except for the one that was already approved, is part of the PUD amendment that's being heard. Most of those are in shoreline jurisdiction, but not all of them. So about 15 of them are in for the shoreline substantial development permit now also. The PUD vests and lasts forever unless it changes. Because they've already built the infrastructure, the roads are on the ground there, so it becomes a permanent land use entitlement. The shoreline permit is only valid for 5 years. So if they don't get all of the duplexes that are in shoreline jurisdiction built in 5 years, they may be back for a new shoreline permit. Their schedule is aggressive enough that that's not going to be an issue. From what they're telling us, they already have something in the vicinity of 8 to 10 units pre-reserved. They can't really sell them because that's not legal since they don't exist. It's like selling someone swampland in Florida. But they're wanting to go to construction on at least 6 duplexes this summer. So it's a pretty significant investment out there. Those units are, I'm pretty sure, probably about $1 million in construction value for each pair. So it's a notable investment in the community and in the SPIT. And it's nice to see something happening, especially something that's been approved and has been able to be built for years and years, sitting out there with roads and water connections and sewer connections waiting to be activated. That's the status of Semyon Shore. We're trying hard to remember to call it Semyon Shore instead of Seagrass.
That's word.
Thank you, Michael, for letting me sneak in on the end here. Again, like Michael said, if you're not finding this of value, we could change it and modify it in whatever way, but this is one of the things that we've reported to you each year, looking at trends and where all those customer service requests come from and to and so forth, and also a little bit of the trending over time. And so I think the one really significant trend over time here is they just all seem to be going a little bit in the decline. So that tells me that we're doing a good job without people calling the phone and asking for things. So I think that's good. The street is still the highest one, but as you could see, before we moved into this building, city properties was the highest one. So that's really stabilized things, I think, being a newer building and hopefully all this ESCO work that we're still doing is in just improving things in general for everything.
Michael, could I just ask you a question? How are we making note on our projects to work on the city? Buildings and demolishing buildings and warning letters and all that.
Thank you for bringing that up. I actually can pull something up on my computer and give you a little bit more information, so let me go and move over there.
I'd like to see that as a monthly report, if you could, maybe clarification as to when the letters were out.
Yeah, that's my intention, sir, is that in the beginning of the process, it will be a monthly report. As I mentioned last time we talked about it, we are in a hiring process, and I can, the first thing I'll report is that we have a new employee starting on the 18th. So that will be obviously a huge help. And we were able to find someone who has experience in code enforcement and has been doing that as part of their job for about a year. She's a relatively new person in the workforce, but she seems to be very qualified and has some energy. So that will be nice to see someone on board helping us with that. Just to give you a sense of things, this is a little bit dated, this information. It wasn't prepared for tonight. It's from a little while back. In 2015, we had 56 complaints for nuisance-related issues. Of those, 19 of them were external complaints. So 37 of them were generated by us, basically by driving around and saying, that's an issue, that's an issue, that's an issue. Because we were working through the process of revising our code and only adopted that late in the year, and as we talked, we haven't really had staffing available for this. Most of those have not been acted on. A number of them have received notifications that said your property is potentially a violation, but we haven't started enforcement action against them. In 18 of them have been sent those notices, and we've made some progress on a couple of those, and some of the more recent ones that we've received, we've already sent out some notice letters kind of at the beginning of this year, taking a little bit of a different effort. So we have quite a bit of work to do on that, but we have a good start with when the person's in here in the office later in the month. They're going to basically have a list of here's the steps to take and here's the properties to start with. Right. Yeah, and that's exactly what we'll be able to show is, you know, how many properties are in progress, how many are at this stage, how many are at that stage, and hopefully how many have been resolved.
Yeah. Aaron, Michael, are there any of those individuals that just came forward to the problem without notification?
Without notification? No.
Okay.
No. I mean, typically we wouldn't even, like, they wouldn't necessarily know. I presume maybe they wouldn't even know something was wrong unless you sent them a notice. They might just assume the condition was acceptable. But
I was just thinking that there's been quite a bit of information that came out of the time things were adopted. And it's just wondering if there was any effect of that, people just coming forward and saying, taking care of the situation.
I would imagine out there probably are some people that have cleaned things up maybe as a result of that, but the reality is what we'll have to do is all of these that we inspected in the sort of like fall of last year, we'll have to go back out and re-inspect, and we may find that some of those people have resolved their issues. But most of these, I would say of the 37 that were generated internally by staff, we're going to find that's not the case. Some of them we drive by every day and we know they're still there, and some of them have been there for years, some of them have been there for a decade. So they're not going to suddenly go out and clean up because they read something in the newspaper. That's not what's going to happen. But I do have a lot of confidence that things will change pretty dramatically, pretty quickly.
You know, Michael, I'm looking at some stuff on the internet. I noticed that there are a couple of cities that have had campaigns. They blame you for doing your part to make Blaine beautiful. And all of their employees wore t-shirts that said, you know, help us make Blaine beautiful. And maybe that's one of the reasons the code enforcement should give some consideration too. I think it would have to be worked with the chamber. It would be good, nice to see us get out. All the businesses in town could put up a little sign that said, you know, we're doing our part to make Blaine beautiful. Public relations, I think, would be helpful.
Yeah, proactive approach or a pro cleanliness approach rather than a anti-dirtiness approach is real, has a real positive effect and a positive message. We could certainly look into things like that. As you know, we've had cleanup days in the past. We've had downtown cleanup days, been different things like that. There's the Blaine is Beautiful program for yards. So we take some steps in that direction, but more comprehensive approach.
If you can get the businesses, people to put a little sign up that says, you know, we've done our part. Give it up to people walking down the street and see if they look at the city to kind of do something. Maybe we should help.
We can give that some thought. I will say, I think we'll focus on law-related issues first, and that may be something we develop.
But yes. I'm just saying, if you look on the internet, you can see that a number of cities really went out of the way to have a really aggressive campaign.
Right.
So, something to think.
I have a question, Mr. Jones. The shopping center remodel, have they done that yet? I haven't seen anything.
No, it's not listed in here as one of the items.
Is that the center remodel?
On the map.
On the map that we have, which is different than the one we have up there.
Oh, that was internal. That was like not a facade change. It was an interior remodel. I can't remember which business it was for. Might have been the physical therapy office.
Okay. That one down on his floor, too, in that West Marine building.
Right.
And it's taken over about 3/4 of it. That's good to see.
Okay, next, public safety issue. That's all.
I can defer until the next meeting, Your Honor, and unless there's something, if there are particular subjects that you'd like to discuss.
I will ask the council members if they can discuss. The consensus is to defer. So. Okay, next item is our illustrious Mr. City Manager.
Well, how about that? So I'm going to ask for a little deferral tonight, too. We've got actually Carr Turner here tonight to meet with you in executive session. And so before you guys drop off, I'm saying you might or you will, but it's getting late. And so there's several things we have to do in executive session tonight. It's going to take us a little bit of time. So I just wanted to make a couple reports. One is, we did meet with the state of Washington on the rail policy committee. A couple of council members attended that with me, Ms. Anya and Mr. Robinson. Ray was on the video through the internet, as well as many, many others, including several from Canada, who attended personally to the meeting. And the takeaway, and you guys can report as well, was that this is a very difficult, complex, expensive proposition that the state of Washington is crafting to try to figure out how to add stations, but I think underlying it is closed stations. And there were cities that were at that meeting because they were worried about their station being closed. And so at the very end of the meeting, I suggested that perhaps they know what they want, that the cities would just pay them relative to the cost of the study rather than us trying to reinvent the wheel, trying to find consultants who can meet their objectives and standards. And you know, I think we're going to follow that up again with a phone call this week. They were very interested in that idea. They hadn't considered that they could run reports to set up outcomes based on their standard that would be funded outside of their agency. That may be the most cost-effective and quickest solution that we could ever come up with. So we'll follow up on that idea. That doesn't get to the question of how you close stations. That's still a very sticky problem for them. And apparently they're looking at it, at least one. And I imagine there's others along the way that are not productive. And particularly when you look at the corridor down through King County, Pierce County, and Snohomish County, there are stations that are just not producing ridership. So I think that's what they're looking at trying to change. So there's many other things. I've got to tell you, the most important thing we've been working on is Vista Terrace. That community's been very outspoken. They're strong, opinions as you've seen tonight at other meetings. I want to applaud the council for stepping up and listening and really putting some thought into what it's possible to do to try to mitigate some of the circumstances that are occurring up there. You know, these are oftentimes, we deal with, developers and big projects and money coming in and all of those things. And this is a real situation where you are citizens, real people that live here, have honest and just concerns. And I think the council is doing a good job of listening, of trying to debate amongst yourselves when the time comes about how best to approach this. I would say that it is one of the things that we do under life and health safety, under the police powers of the city, is to look after the long-term benefit. And some of that includes roads, police services, public work services, all the things that we do. And so we're doing the right thing by moving forward with that project. But by thinking it through financially, you might be able to come up with some solutions to help offset some of that demand that system is now placing on that community. So I think we need to keep thinking about it, noodling it. There were some good ideas that came out tonight. And we'll come back with a lot more information as we close the project up and are more specific about the costs. And my suggestion to the council is when we get to ready for that point, give yourselves adequate time. Don't rush through the public hearing process if you're feeling like you're not getting the information you need or you need more time to consider. You've got time to do that. So we'll keep that on our calendar. I don't anticipate any more public meetings for a while. I didn't sense from the community tonight they're asking for more, but I think they're really asking for time when the public hearing starts. We'll make sure everybody gets notified at least once, or not twice, about those meetings. It'll be in the newspaper. There's other things we can do to make sure that the message is out there. So, any questions or comments?
The only comment I would have, David, is I think we're going to need time after the public hearing. Probably going to need a study session or a study session.
Oh, sure.
We're going to have to. I want to give people the opportunity to voice their objections or opinions or whatever they have. And I think we're getting a pretty good taste of that.
I think they've got BTAC tomorrow, so I think we can leave this stuff.
I think I've got canceled.
Pardon?
Didn't Debbie send out a cancellation to BTAC?
I have no idea. I didn't see.
I'll look in a minute. I'll be back out.
This is a very old computer. We can't get Outlook to run on it, so I can't look stuff up. The computer that Bob was switching out for is currently being used for public records requests. So I'm just...
What do you need?
Okay. The item that's coming up. I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but I had some employee contracts.
Your question was?